Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, church. What an honor it is to join you today for the Sermon Speaker Series. And my goodness, we love you guys. Jessica and I absolutely love you. We love Calvary dearly, but also we love your pastors, Pastor Steve and Susan. You guys are a gift, not only to BC, not only to Canada, but you're a gift to the world. And it is amazing. Lately, we seem to be meeting up with each other and crossing paths somewhere around the world. And we don't take your partnership for granted. I know a few weeks back, you guys had the OGs. You had Bob and Carol Cave there with you. And just the fingerprints of your love and passion and the fingerprints of your investment all over the world, it's absolutely terrific. And I have to say something maybe unusual, but I just want to thank Canada as someone who has been living and serving in Oklahoma City for the last many years, that you have gifted us with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an extraordinary Canadian basketball player, and Lugans Dort, another Canadian basketball player. And right now, the Thunder are the reigning champs of the NBA, and the most valuable player of our team is Canadian. So thank you, Canada, not only for blessing the world with your love and your ministry, but also thank you for blessing the city that I call home with an extraordinary basketball player. So we're excited. We're thrilled. Now you guys got to get back a hold of the NHL and what's this nonsense of Florida teams winning in hockey. You got to take back what is rightfully yours. But anywho, let's not talk about sports too long. Let's just go to the Word of God, because I am honored. I am honored and excited that you have trusted me to be able to go to the Lord on your behalf and just inquire of Him. And I do believe He has something to share with us today. So if you will join me in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. Verse 40, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And we're in our summer series, and something that is happening in the Barroso household right now is that Noah, Lucas, and Abigail are home every day. And yes, they have a camp here and activity there, but there is something that they want to do absolutely all the time. They want to have their friends come over to the house, or they want to go over to somebody's house. And basically, one of the phrases that I'm hearing all the time the kids say to their buddies is, "Hey, come over to our house." So that has kind of been in my heart and in my mind, of just the constant opportunity for somebody to come over. And I do believe that today Jesus hopes that you and I would extend that same kindness and courtesy to Him. And it could absolutely transform our world if we will say, "Come on over to my house." Because in Luke chapter 8, verse 40, we're going to read a segment of scripture together. It tells us that when Jesus returned, this is to Capernaum, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored Him, tell your neighbor, implored Him to come to his house. But he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around Him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. And she came up behind Him and touched the fringe of His garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing onto you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Him. That's the second time this happens in this passage. Declare in the presence of all the people why she had touched Him, and how she had been immediately healed. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith," say it to your neighbor, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And we hope, as He's speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answer him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And Jesus, we're here in your presence today. And Jesus, so many of us harbor in our hearts situations. Some of us are managing in our lives circumstances. Some of us are having to walk through difficult moments. And today, we're looking in your direction and we're saying, come on over. Come to our house. Come to our lives. We believe that it will be well. Speak to us, Jesus. In your name, amen and amen. This is quite a unique story of Scripture, and there are so many parallels and so many things that we can consider. However, I will ask that before you get too far ahead, because I know you know this passage, that you will journey with me, because we have to talk about the people in the story. We know that Jesus was not here in Capernaum for the first time. His reputation preceded him. Right at the beginning of the story, we're told that they were waiting for him. If you just flip a couple of pages over in your Bible, you will see that he had been in Capernaum prior, and he had healed a demon-possessed person, and he had done miracles, and he had also been teaching in the synagogue. So Jesus was not a stranger to this town. Jesus was not a stranger to the region. In fact, he grew up very close by Nazareth, and Jesus had gone over to the water, had been in Gadara, had delivered the demon-possessed man, and the moment he came over, the crowds were pressing to him. Enter Jairus. Jairus was not your average guy. Jairus was important. Jairus was distinguished. Jairus may have been one of the single most important people in this community. He was the chief of the synagogue, the place where you went to encounter God, but also he was the one that was charged with upholding the law, the one charged with upholding the order of Jewish society, the one that had been learning how to open the scroll. He was somebody. But at this moment, he was not a chief of the synagogue. He was not a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He was not a scribe. He was not the religious police. He was a dad. He was a father whose daughter was dying. At this point where his world is crumbling, it doesn't matter your position, it doesn't matter your job, it doesn't matter the money that you have, it doesn't matter the clout, it doesn't matter the influence. What it matters is that something in my life that is absolutely irreplaceable, something in my life that is absolutely all that I put my hopes and aspirations of a future in is crumbling. My dream of walking my daughter down an aisle is crumbling. Everything that I have hoped for is dying. He was at a place where he could no longer afford to hide behind a position, to hide behind a title, to hide behind what he does. He had to be fully committed to, number one, getting to Jesus. You see, today, all of us are in a place where we know that Jesus is there. Your church. But even if you're watching this on your live stream at home, Jesus is there. But we have grown accustomed to be in the presence of Jesus and to be in the vicinity of Jesus and to be in places where he is at work. But many times our position or our privilege or who we think we are or just ideas that we'll build upon ourselves make a barrier and build a wall for us actually getting to Jesus. Let me tell you something. That day in Capernaum, there were so many people around it. Peter said it, Jesus, they're all pressing around you. They were waiting for him. Right now, look around the church. Look around the auditorium. There are many people in here that are in the vicinity of Jesus. But so many times we are in his presence, but we fail to actually get to him. We wait from afar. We sing the songs. We give, we feel good, but we don't get to him. There are some of us today that things are dying in our lives. Things are dying in our heart. There is a passion. There is a calling. There is a vision that God has entrusted you with and has been dying and withering within you. And you have been in the presence of Jesus enough. It is time for you and I to actually get to Him. Today, you have to get to Jesus. But that would also require for us to make a move. Getting to Jesus was something very difficult for Jairus. And now I'm not talking just about the crowd. I'm talking about what he had to leave behind. You see, I imagine this dad being at home with his daughter and he's watching her. She's dying. The doctors have no answers. He looks at his wife. She has no answers. Despair is taking over. I'm in my house and I'm watching my daughter dying and there is nothing that I can do about it. And he had to make a choice. He begins to hear, hey, the master, he's back. He came to Capernaum. He's walking in the streets. So he actually had to leave his dying daughter to go find Jesus. You see, some of us have been standing in the place of our despair and we have been standing in the place of our disillusionment and our brokenheartedness for far too long. And it's time for us to leave that place and make a move to get to the only one that can make it happen. Let me tell you something. Your job is not going to bring things back to life in your life. Your situation in your relationship is not going to heal your brokenheartedness. Those doctors sometimes don't have answers for our illness. But if you leave that place of despair and you make your way to Jesus, everything can change. But you have to make a move. And it's not that God is just trying just to test you or to be far and to be away. No. He made already the first move. You have to remember, Romans reminds us that we were so far away from Him. We had all sinned and we are removed and far away from His glory. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls us that we were enemies from God. But we were not neutral. There is no one neutral in this world. We were completely antagonistic to the Creator of the universe. However, He made the first move, for He so loved the world. He so loved you that He gave His Son. He came. Philippians tells us that He emptied Himself of His glory and assumed the form of a servant. But even more so, Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I know we know that verse, but what bothers me about that verse is that many times we forget what comes right before us. It tells us in verse 4 of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to God. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He already made the move. He is near. He is walking in your street. He is walking in your city. He is walking in your neighborhood. He is walking in this building at this very moment. He already made the move. And He came exactly at the time that He needed to come, because it's never too late. He was in Gadara, but He knew at this moment, Jairus needs me. And He knows that at this moment, you and I need Him. He already made a move. Are we willing to step off the place of our despair? And are we willing to step off of the place of our brokenheartedness? Are we willing to let the disillusionment go by and make our way to Jesus? He is near. But Jairus had to make his way to Him. So come to Jesus. That was number one. But number two, you're going to have to break some things. You see, how many people in that day needed a miracle? They knew that Jesus could heal. They knew that Jesus could deliver. They knew that Jesus could absolutely change the laws of nature to be able to bring this order into order. And they knew that he was this teacher and prophet from Nazareth. And he was in Capernaum right now, and the crowd was all pressing in. But Jairus, and also the lady that we read about, they knew, I have to break just absolutely every obstacle and every barrier in my mind to be able to get to Jesus. It was quite unusual for the chief ruler to bow down. In fact, when you look at this passage in the Greek, the word that is used right there is not just that it was a quick bow, but it actually talks about someone that is in an upright position that progressively and systematically lowers itself. And it has the nuances that is not just about a simple bow, but it's absolutely getting off of a level to a new level. And when you and I remember that we need Jesus and that we're people in need of his grace and love and forgiveness, and what we hold dear is dying and we have to make a move, we can no longer afford just to stay in church and just like give a little hands up and say, Jesus, if you don't mind, please help me. No, you have to break through. Just forget what anybody else will think. Break off the shame. Break off the fear. Break off the timidity. And please know that I'm an advocate for educated church. I'm not talking about just let's go crazy and wild. But what I am talking about is that there is a moment in our life that our desperation has to match our need for Jesus. And it can't just be something that happens inwardly. Outwardly, we show it and we express it that we have to come and get to him. You see, here you have the ruler of a synagogue throwing himself at the feet of Jesus, saying, if you don't come to my house, nothing else matters. And he was willing, and he was able, and he did it. We have to break those preconceptions in our mind that he will be completely ignoring our request. He loves you. He is near. The next thing we also have to break off of our life is comparison. You see, many times, rather than celebrating what the Lord is doing in somebody else's life, we become angry. We become bothered. We become bitter. Can you imagine Jairus? He makes his way through the crowd. He gets to Jesus, throw himself at his feet and says, Jesus, will you come to my house? My daughter is dying. And Jesus says, yes, I'll come. And they begin to walk through the crowd. And at some point, we don't know if they walk 2 minutes. We don't know if they walk 20 minutes. But as they're walking, somebody else interrupts the process. And somebody else receives a miracle. And somebody else receives the healing. And I imagine Jairus saying like, okay, Jesus, great, but can we please get on a move? You see, sometimes we become bothered by the interruptions of God blessing somebody else, rather than allowing for that to build our faith, rather than that giving us the assurance that if he did it for her, he can do it for my daughter. If he blessed that person, he can bless me. He opened a new door for somebody else to get a job. He restored that marriage. He broke the chains of that addiction. He restored that family. He moved in that nation. He can move through me. Can we please recuperate the capacity to rejoice and have faith and celebrate God at work in somebody else's life, because he can do it in mine. Sometimes we miss so much joy in our Christian journey by comparison. Let's break that off our lives. We break off our fear. We break off comparison. But Jairus had to break something very big off his life. He had to break off religion. You see, this was a very difficult situation, and we know that Dr. Luke, who is so precise in his accounts, knew what he was doing when he wrote it this way. I mean, we can find this story also in the Gospel of Matthew. We can find the story in other places, but in Luke, he tells us exactly the ailment, and exactly the process, and exactly what this lady did. You see, this was a crisis moment for Jairus, because he finally got to Jesus. He made a move. They got going. And in the middle of this distraction, this lady says, I have an issue of blood. I had to touch you, Jesus. This healed me. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Max, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is that everything in the religious book right there was telling Jairus that Jesus had become ceremonially unclean and that he couldn't be with him and that he had to go away and that he couldn't be associated with Jesus because religion of the time say that this was not acceptable. But at that moment, the desperation in his life and the recognition that only Jesus could make it happen had the chief of the synagogue say, forget that. I need Jesus. And some of us need to go ahead and grab our preferences and say, forget that. I need Jesus. Some of us need to talk about the ideas of the past and say, forget that. I need Jesus. Some of us need to grab our comfort and what makes us feel safe and what makes us feel secure and just say, forget that. I need Jesus. Some of us need to enter into a life that remembers that only Jesus matters and that there are certain things in our life that only Jesus can provide. And our religion is not going to do it. Our ideas are not going to do it. Only Jesus can. And that day, Jairus had to say, religion, we're done. Jesus, come on, let's go. Man, he had to break off comparison. He had to break off just the fear of religion. He had to change his mind. But there is something else that he needed to break. He needed to break through. Because the moment that they begin to take a step after Jesus healed this lady, somebody else comes and says, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. It's too late. And some of us may be here in church today and we may be telling ourselves, it's too late. This already died. This situation is unsolvable. I got to Jesus. I got to church. I'm here today. I'm in the presence of so many friends, but it's over. It's done. It's never going to happen for me. And at that very moment, the words of Jesus just plow through the confusion, plow through the doubts, plow through the haze of disbelief, and speak directly to the heart of this father, saying, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. You see, what Jairus needed in this situation and what Jesus knew that needed to happen is he did not only need one facet of Jesus, he needed the fullness and the full experience of who Christ is and can be in our lives if we make room for him. When he say, come on over, he did not only invite Jesus the healer, he also invited Jesus the savior. He also invited Jesus the one who hold the keys of life and death in his hand. He called upon the creator of the universe, and Jesus did not want to come and heal this little girl. He was there to express the fullness of his power that nothing can hinder him from moving on behalf of those who invite him over to their house. So when he walks into that room and says, Talita Kumi, little girl, get up. It was not just healing. It was resurrection power being expressed. And Jairus and his family experienced that. But he had to break through with faith that Jesus could do it. And you see, some of us today, we are at a place in our life where we like Jesus, where we are okay with everything that is happening around, where we believe that we can go to heaven and the gospel is great news, but our life is missing that faith, is missing that vitality, is missing that hopeful expectation that at any given point, Jesus can express the fullness of his power. So number three, we need Jesus in our home. I know that number one was get to Jesus. Number two was break some things, break through. But number three is you need him in your home. You see, some of us have been surrounded for far too long with the lament and the sound of the despair of what it was. And we need Jesus to come into our home and change the sound. You see, when they were crying and Jesus got there, he said to them, just ask them to stop. Just ask them to leave their room. Just all the naysayers, silence them. I'm here. Everything can be new. And today, some of us need for that new sound that when he's making all things new in our life, begin to come. We have this lady that was ill for 12 years. We have this little girl that was 12 years old. Lives that were happening in parallel. Both defined by a moment when Jesus expressed the fullness of his power and everything was made new. And today, I don't know what is going on in your life, but I do know this. Jesus is near. He already made a move in your direction. And today, you can experience the fullness of his power like never before. And maybe you're saying, Pastor Max, I've done this other times. I have come to the altar. I have believed and things didn't change. And then all I'm going to say to you is, my friend, I don't know what happened in the past, but I know what can happen today. Jesus, who was in Gadara, is now in Capernaum. He is right there where you are at in that room. He already got near and he's waiting for you to not only be in his presence, but get to him. Look at him and just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. And break off the fear. Break off the comparison. Break off the disbelief. Break off the religion of your life and say, Jesus, if you would make it happen, you can have my all and you can have my life and you can have my heart. And today, healing virtue can flow. Today, deliverance can flow. Today, restoration can flow. Today, new opens doors can be opened for you, because the one who makes all things new and who sustains the universe by the power of his word is saying to you, man, do not fear. Woman, only believe. Friend, it shall be well. And wherever you're at right now, with faith, let's pray together and believe that what you're asking for, as you reach for the fringe of his garment, as you come to his feet, as we move from his presence to him, it shall be done. Because Jesus, we believe in you and we believe in your word and we make a decision to come to you. And Lord, here is our family. Here is our life. Here is our health. Here's everything there is to be about us. And we say, Jesus, will you please speak to it? Will you please touch it? Will your healing virtue and your miracles flow today on our behalf? And Lord, we move past this belief into knowing that you will come over. And Jesus, we don't want to look at you from afar. Will you please come over? Will you please come to our home? Will you make all things new, knowing that you are able? So we ask you, Jesus, do it so, because we believe and we know that with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, your name. Amen.